Turn, please, if you would, to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians, chapter 1. I'm looking at one verse today, verse 4. Galatians 1, 4. Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Memorial Day is once again upon us. And as necessary, the reminder on social media is that this holiday means more than a day off from work and a cookout. We are reminded of the brave men and women who have given their lives so that we may live in freedom. Many families have offered great sacrifice in the loss of a mother or father, son or daughter, or brother or a sister. And tomorrow, as is true for most days, it is a day of mourning for them. Memorial Day is for them a memory of their loved one, the one who died in service to our country. Let us not forget. As well, gathering together on the Lord's Day, we too remember one who died for us. We live because He suffered and died, so we recall His sacrifice. Once again, let us not forget. Let us make this Memorial Day a day of remembrance. For my message today, as Peter wrote to his readers, it is my objective to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And so I'd like to remind you today of the selfless sacrifice of the Savior. That's the title of the message. We look into Galatians chapter 4 and see the selfless sacrifice of the Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege of being in Your house today. We do thank You for those who have given up their lives and those who have been injured and those who served so that we would have freedom such as this yet today. But Lord, we also want to thank You especially for the Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished for us that we might have eternal life. And we don't ever want to forget that either. And so we just give You the honor and the glory today. And we pray that if there's any here that's lost, that You would show them their need of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that You would convict them and draw them unto You. We pray that they might be saved today. We who are saved, we might rejoice in the salvation You've given to us, and we would be reminded once again of that great sacrifice, and we would leave with great joy in our hearts. And so, Lord, just may everything that's said and done be for Your honor and glory. And we commit it to You. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. I want to look here in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 and notice the selfless sacrifice of the Savior. The first thing I would like to point out to you as we look at this verse once again, that first phrase says, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. The first thing I point out to you is that word sins. That's the problem. The problem. The problem with our world is sin. And you look around and you see that there's death and there's suffering, there's complications and there's evil and there's corruption. Do you know why that is? Because the long history of sin. If there had never been any sin, none of these bad things would be in existence. But they came in with the entrance of sin. It began way back at the beginning. Go, if you would, to the book of Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis chapter 3. You say, do you believe the Old Testament? Yes. Do you believe the Pentateuch? Yes. Do you believe Genesis' account of the creation and Adam and Eve and all that? Yes, I do. I believe this is accurate. And the Word of God tells us about the creation and tells us about how He made man. And then He made a woman, put them in the Garden of Eden, and gave them one command. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden. Well, Genesis chapter 3 records for us how that, of course, in a period of time that the serpent, he tested Eve and began to tempt her and said, look at this tree and look how wonderful it is and it'll make you wise and all that. And so Eve was tempted of the devil and she took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and she gave the fruit unto Adam, her husband, and he did eat. And this is what we read, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Do you know what the difference was? The difference was their sin. They had sinned against God, and their eyes were open. They began to know evil. And of course, when they heard the voice of God in the cool of the evening that day, they had fellowship with God many, many times in the past, but they hear this voice that day and they hid. Why did they hide? Because they knew that they were naked and they were ashamed and they were afraid. And they hid from God. I submit unto you that that's when sin entered into the human race with Adam and Eve, as recorded for us in Genesis chapter 3. And ever since that time, we've had the problem of sin in this world. Turn, if you would, to the book of Romans and chapter 5. You see, the problem is sin. The reason you have to lock your doors is sin. The reason you have to know something about defense is sin. The reason why we have to have police officers and why we have to have armies is because of sin. We have to have doctors because of sin. You see, all these things are complications of sin. Sin is the problem. Came in with Adam and Eve, but perpetuated throughout humanity. And so if you are a human being, then you have the problem of sin. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And notice the penalty here, two things. One is the penalty that we find here. It says, "And death by sin." Adam and Eve, the day they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died spiritually, and then they began to die physically. And you say, well, Adam lived 930 years. Yeah, but he still died. And if he wouldn't have sinned, they would not have died. But death is a result of sin. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And not only is there a physical death, there's a spiritual death. And so in Romans 6:23, we find about the spiritual life that we can have through Jesus Christ. And that's why we're talking today about the sacrifice of the Savior. But the problem that happened was sin. And it continues to go through this humanity. And so we notice in the passage the second thing, not just the penalty of sin, but the universality of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Go back to chapter 3, just a page back to your left. It is true, my friend, that you're a sinner. And do you know how I know you're a sinner and how I can prove that you're a sinner, even though you might say you haven't sinned? Is the fact that you're going to die. Death by sin. And Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You are a sinner. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And so what a remarkable thing we find here. That, hey, back in our text, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, the problem that arose was sin. And it began with Adam and Eve, and it's perpetuated today, and it will continue to perpetuate until Jesus Christ comes back and cleanses this world and changes it all around. Until then, everyone born in this world will be born a sinner, and they will die just like everyone else will die. So we look into our passage, Galatians chapter 1, and the problem is sin, but there's also a second point I want to bring to your attention, and that is it's personal. It's personal. You'll notice it says he gave himself for our sins. Sin is a problem, but I want to make sure that you understand it's very personal today. Personal. Do you know why? Because there are many people who admit that there's sin, they admit that there's problems in the world, that there's evil in the world, but they're not part of it. And there are people who believe that there is sin, but they've never committed it. I've run into a couple of people down through my life that actually believe that. Said, "No, I've never ever sinned." Well, the Bible already said, and we've demonstrated it to you, that they have sinned. But this text says, "our sins." Over in chapter 3 of the book of Galatians, verse 22, the first part of the verse, it says, "The Scripture hath concluded all under sin." And so, my friend today, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how smart you are, how dumb you are. I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care what your sex is, whether you're male or female. It really doesn't matter, my friend. All are sinners. And you cannot escape that. And you can't say, well, there's sin out in the world, but I don't participate in it. Yes, you do. This is personal. It is our sins, he says. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 53. And I will be bouncing back and forth a little bit from Isaiah 53, so you might want to keep a bookmark there to help you a little bit, or a finger stay in that place. I will be coming back and forth a little bit. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." How many sheep went astray? All of them went astray. We have all wandered from God. We are all sinners. And so what that means is, my friend, sin is personal. Now, we might not want to admit that. We might want to say, well, we think we're better than somebody else. But the truth is, I'm a sinner. I was born a sinner, and I've lived a sinner. I'm a saved sinner now, but I'm still a sinner. And sin is personal, my friend. We are guilty. You are guilty of sin. You say, but I'm just not old enough, or I'm just not smart enough, or I just don't live in the right country, or something like that. You can make any excuse you want. The Bible says you're a sinner, and you're accountable for your sin. You see, we are guilty. Our sins. And because we're guilty, we're also responsible. We're responsible. I'm responsible for my sin. You're responsible for your sin. And as a result of that, we deserve that condemnation. John chapter 3. And I'm going to read two verses here. Verse 18. You thought I was going to read verse 16. Tricked you. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." My friend, you were born in this world a sinner. You were dead in trespasses and sins. What do you need to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing, because you're already under condemnation. You do not believe in the Son of God. Now, notice of verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know why it is you won't be saved? Because your deeds are evil. You're responsible, and you deserve the judgment. You deserve the condemnation. Why? Because you are a sinner. And so you just can't point at other people and point at society and say, well, it's their fault. You have to bring it right home to yourself and say, yes, it is true. God said I'm a sinner. There is none that seek after Him. There is none that doeth good, and I'm one of those people. I am a condemned sinner. Notice that you go back to our passage. He's talking in this course about the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll point that out to you in just a second. But I thought it necessary to begin at the beginning, the problem of sin, and then the problem of the fact that it's personal. None of us are without excuse. I don't care who you are, what your age is, you're guilty of sin. You've told a lie, you've cheated, you've stolen, you've done something in your life. You may not have been absolutely obedient to your parents, or absolutely obedient to your teachers, or absolutely obedient to the civil laws of society, but you're a sinner. And so we need to make it very clear, because that demonstrates for us the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So back in Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 4, we see the problem, we see the personal. But the third thing I want to make mention unto you, and emphasize this and the others, of course, and as it follows, is the provision. In verse 4, it says, "Who gave himself for our sins." Now, let's back up for just a moment. What do we have in this passage? In Galatians chapter 1, we have the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the churches of Galatia. And this is the introduction, part of his introduction, of which we read. Pick it up in verse 1. "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." So Paul's an apostle because of Christ and because of God the Father. And in reference to Christ, there's a statement there about his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that God the Father raised him from the dead. All that's in verse 1. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Paul traveled usually in an entourage, and he's writing to the churches, and he says, I'm writing to you as an apostle, and everybody else that is with me, we're kind of saying, hello, how are you doing? And so those that are with me, he's writing unto the churches. Then he offers a blessing unto them, as it were, which was customary when they wrote their letters. Verse 3, grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we write a letter, we might write and say, well, we trust that this letter finds you in good health, and we pray that God's blessings be upon you, and then you might enter the body of the letter. That's all he's doing here as he writes to these churches. But he says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then our verse is verse 4, who? And so who is the who referring to? Back to verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look into verse 4 and we think about the provision, we find who, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself for our sins. The problem is sin. The problem is I've sinned. Now we have the provision. He gave himself. And so I submit unto you very clearly today, as clear as I can make it, Jesus Christ laid down his life that I might have forgiveness of sins. Isn't that what we think about at Memorial Day? About those who fought and those who gave up their lives and those who gave up their limbs and sacrificed so that we might have freedom? And I say to you today, we have spiritual liberty because of Jesus Christ. Because he laid down his life. Go, if you would, to the book of John chapter 10. John chapter 10. The provision is that Christ died for sinners. John 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Skip down to verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What do you find in that passage? Go over to Isaiah 53. Do you not find about Jesus Christ laying down his life? I give my life for the sheep. I lay it down. Nobody takes it from me. It wasn't like that he was under the control of the Romans and he couldn't escape if he didn't want to, that he just was a victim of them. No. He laid down his life. Now the all-familiar John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, Jesus Christ is our provision. Why? Because he laid down his life. It was for our sins that he gave himself. So back in Isaiah chapter 53, look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Christ died so that we might live. Gave up his life so that we might have life, that we might have freedom. And so we read in our passage in Galatians chapter 1, keep a finger in Isaiah, but in Galatians chapter 1, he gave himself. Gave himself. Listen, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What do we read about Jesus there? He laid his life down for us. Romans 5:8 backs that up. It says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave himself. The provision is Christ and his sacrifice. And so we think of the sacrifice of those that we might have civil liberty. Ah, the sacrifice of Christ that we might have spiritual liberty. Does it ring true in your heart and your soul, my friend? I pray that it does. Turn, if you would, to one other place, Matthew chapter 26. I mentioned unto you that He laid down His life, that no man took it from Him. Matthew chapter 26, two verses there, verse 53 and verse 54. When they came out to the garden to catch Him and they arrested Him and all that, here's the declaration in verse 53. "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scripture be fulfilled that it must be?" What is Jesus saying? You come to arrest me. You think you have control of me. But don't you know that the angels of the universe are at my command? I can pray to the Father and even send forth 12 legions of angels. I don't have to be delivered unto you. I don't have to be abused and scourged and beaten and nailed to a cross. But I lay down my life. I lay down my life willingly. Our men and women, as they serve for us and they go to these other countries and they fight in the war, they lay down their lives so that we might have liberty. And here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we should truly remember, that He laid down His life for us. So we look into our text, and our third point is the provision. And the provision is that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave Himself. That's what we read in the verse. He gave Himself. Let's pass on to point number four. Why did He give Himself? And it's the matter of propitiation. Now, that's a big word, I understand. But the word propitiation simply means a covering. And it's a cleansing from sin, and that's the idea in the spiritual context. But notice in verse 4, the first part of the verse, it says, "Who gave Himself." Okay, what did He do in forgiving and giving Himself? He gave Himself for our sins, that our sins might be covered, that there might be propitiation. And we've seen some of that already in some of the verses which we read. But I want to mention unto you, my friend, that there's a problem of sin, but it comes right home to me because it's very personal. But what am I going to do about that? Can I fix that? No. Can I atone for my own sin? No. How can I be forgiven of sins? Well, I need the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I need His shed blood to wash away my sin. I need the propitiation of which Jesus Christ provides. And so in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 14, it says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And so I stand before you today as a sinner that's been saved by the grace of God. I didn't earn it, I didn't deserve it, but by God's grace, He gave me eternal life. He died for me. He was buried for me. He suffered for me. He rose again for me. You see? He's my propitiation. Let's look at a few verses. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 2. "And He is the propitiation for our sins." And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Mainly, clearly speaking, if anybody's going to be saved anywhere, it's going to be through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. It's not, well, you can be saved by Christ and then be saved by good works and then be saved by baptism and be saved this other way. My friend, there's only one way. And that one way is Jesus Christ. And you'll not see the Father without Jesus Christ. He is our provision. He is our propitiation. And so we find that He is the propitiation for our sins. Isaiah 53, where I asked you to keep the finger there. Go back over there, Isaiah chapter 53. And notice in verse 4, and then after this you can lose Isaiah. But Isaiah 53, and in verse 4, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed." Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for Jesus Christ and the provision which He has made that you might have forgiveness of sin? That your sins might be covered by His blood? In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and in verse 21, it says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us." God the Father made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, although Christ did not know any sin, for the purpose that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 speaks of the substitutionary death and atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took my place He took my judgment. And because of His righteousness, His blood can cleanse me and cover my sins. You see, Christ gave up Himself for our sins. That's what He says. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, just a verse over from our text, a chapter over a page. So, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. There's the propitiation, the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners, that we might be forgiven of our sin. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 bears this out again. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Go back to our passage, Galatians chapter 1. I submit unto you, yes, we're sinners, and that's a big problem. But praise God for the provision of Jesus Christ and the propitiation which Christ has provided that we might be saved. And so I say unto you, dear sinner, first of all, recognize that you're broken. I mean, you are a sinner against God. Recognize then that you're bankrupt. You cannot pay the penalty. You cannot meet the need. You cannot provide yourself an atonement. So you're lost and you're undone and you're dead. And what you need to recognize that Jesus Christ died for sinners. My friend, you can be bought through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang at the beginning, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And my friend, today, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've received the propitiation which Christ has provided. So yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner. And some of you are lost. Some of you are still undone. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Back in our passage again, we find the problem is sin. We find the provision is Jesus Christ and the propitiation which He makes. But then we find the purpose. Why does He do this? Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. That He might deliver us. We can find deliverance only through Jesus Christ. Go, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. We do have deliverance. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14. Says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that He through death might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you know, dear sinner friend, that you're afraid of death? The devil has you. He's bound you. But aren't you glad for the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we read in the text where He took Himself a human body, He became a man, He suffered, He died, He was buried, He rose again, so that He might deliver them who through fear of death, all the lifetime you're subject to bondage. I used to be like that, but no more. You know why? Because Christ has set me free. He has delivered me from the bondage of sin. But not only that, we find in that passage it told us that it was from this present evil world. We are saved. We've been set free spiritually. We're delivered from the bondage of sin, but we also have a deliverance from the bondage of this age. I would use the word sanctification, a separation, all possible because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what it says in over Ephesians chapter 2? And in verse 8 and verse 9, it talks about the salvation we have by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But in verse 10, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. See, not only did He save us from our sin, but He saved us from this present evil world. We can read in the Gospels how that Jesus said, you're not any longer of the world. The world will hate you because you're not of the world. You know why? We're different. He saved us. We're children of the King now. Go to Titus, just a few pages back. Titus chapter 2. And this is to encourage you, dear Christian friend, to recognize that the provision of Jesus Christ, the propitiation of Jesus Christ, had a purpose behind us. It was to save us from our sin, but also to save us from this present evil world. And that means a sanctification. That means a separation. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "The grace of God that it bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity." Yeah, He saves us, but "and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." And we read in our text that He gave up His life for us. He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. And so, dear Christian, it ought to be your desire and your focus to separate from the evil that's found in this world. That's the purpose why He saved us. To cleanse us from sin and to cleanse us from the world. Oh, you've heard it many times in the past, but in this regard to sin, and we're all infected by it. But because of salvation, we are delivered from the penalty of sin. Yes, we've been forgiven. And we've been delivered from the power of sin. Yeah, we don't have to sin. We don't have to follow after those things. But we also know that one day we will be delivered from the presence of sin. And so as long as we're in this life, we know we have that problem. We have that difficulty. We're going to struggle with sin. But God has saved us. He gave up His life for us so that we might be delivered from this present evil world. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I share the end of this verse. The two verses I'm going to look at. I'm going to look at verse 10 here and then mention the next point, which will begin the first verse, verse 9. I think of the purpose of which God has done for us, and that is to deliver us from this present evil world. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read verse 9, but I'm going to emphasize verse 10. "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He hath given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Why did He give Himself? To deliver us from the bondage of sin in this present evil world. Next point and last point of the message. You'll go back to our... Keep a finger there in 2 Timothy because I'm coming right back. But we go back to our text, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. "Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world?" Last point is this. Notice the providence. "According to the will of God and our Father." Back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Remember when we read there in verse 9? Look at it again. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but how? According to what? What foundation here? "But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And so when I read in this passage here, where it talks about that Christ is our provision, and we need that provision and a propitiation because we're sinners, and why is that? So we might be delivered from it. And where did all that come from? That it was all according, it says, to the will of God and our Father. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 4 says, "According as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Notice all that happened before the foundation of the world, that He chose a people. Now skip down to verse 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and that and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance. Notice, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. And so when we look at these precious truths here in our text of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, what's the foundation behind it all? It says in that last part of the verse, according to the will of God and the Father. And so we see in all of this the providence of God. So let me offer you a few thoughts in closing. Number one, I trust that you have seen the sinless, selfless sacrifice of the Savior. Do you reckon Christ, who He was, what He did, why He died? And because we see His sacrifice, we see Him as Savior. Jesus Christ is your only hope. There is no other way. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus Christ, He is our Savior. He is the Savior. And so when we look at this, we learn that He gave up His life for us. You know, Jesus stated over in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And as much as you may be moved today about those who have suffered and those who have died, those who have incurred great loss in their families because of national freedoms and liberties, and we should be concerned and we should be moved, and there should be compassion and empathy, there ought to be recognition. I submit unto you, my friend, that great recognition ought to be extended to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that He died for us, that we might live. That's a Memorial Day, isn't it? Every day should be a Memorial Day as we reflect on Jesus Christ. So, sinner, today, would you repent and be saved? Would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you quit trying to do it on your own? Will you quit trying to fix your sin? Would you just bow your knee to Jesus and call upon Him to be your Lord and Savior? He's the one that provides life, not you. He's the one that can wash away your sin, not you, not this church. Would you, sinner, be saved today? You say, oh, that doesn't mean me. Yes, it does. Go back at the beginning of the message. The problem is sin, but it's personal. All have sinned. And then I submit unto you, dear saved person, would you reflect upon these matters and may the memory of His sacrifice stir your heart. Stir your heart. Would you be moved and to recognize, you know, part of the fact that He died for me so that I might be delivered from this present evil world? My, what a difference that should make in us, that we might live lives that are honoring to Him. So may God speak to your heart today as we reflect upon the sinless, selfless sacrifice of the Savior. Let's stand. I pray that God would speak to your heart, whether you're lost, whether you're saved, that He would move in you and those needs would be met in your soul. Father, we commit these things to you today. We pray for the lost that they might be saved. We who are saved, Lord, we'd be reflective upon these things and rejoice in the salvation you've given to us, but always bear in mind the great sacrifice which you made. And Lord, we know that even communion has that purpose, where it's to show forth His death till He comes. And so help us never to forget what You did for the sake that we might be saved. So we ask You to move in every heart by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn back, if you would, to number 334.